Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'ahotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very pleased to be able to broadcast to you and be with you live and in living color. Wow, today was a very interesting day, family, and we're going to tell you why very shortly. But before we begin tonight's program, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are always very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Well, so much information we want to convey to you today. But just to kind of give you an overview of some of what we're going to talk about tonight, of course, we're going to continue our salute to our women. Of course, we pay tribute to our women every day, as we say, 360. But sometimes we, you know, may do a little more, and so right about now we're going to do that. So tonight we're going to continue to salute and pay tribute to women of African descent from antiquity to present day. And with that, give you some highlights on some of the people that we are going to talk about, or shall we say we're going to highlight a few women of our ancestry that we want to, convey to you. It's so much to share information-wise nowadays, and we certainly appreciate all of you who are out there providing information. And even if you're not providing information, the fact that you're in tune and trying to be in tune, you know, I want to salute all of you. Today was a perfect example of that, actually. And what I mean by that is we had a meeting, a town hall meeting, a community gathering, whichever you care to call it, in Philadelphia. It was part two of what we call a community speak out or a community town hall meeting. And this particular one was to, and did, in fact, focus on the issue of gentrification. And you've been hearing us talk about that here at New Day for quite some time. We've been holding sessions on it. Well, it seems like more people are beginning to comprehend the reality. And the reality is we are really being moved out of what we call our communities. But the question has to be, are these really our communities? Given the fact that, you know, what is a community? What does it entail? And certainly there are many definitions for that, but at some point we've got to be able to see that whatever different definition you're applying to it is not exactly happening in that way. So usually a community is a group of people who are, you know, focusing on some same goals and objectives and are doing some things collectively as well as having a connection to one another based on a specific goal, issue, culture, and so forth and so on. But traditionally, when we talk about Black community, African community, we're really talking about family. We're talking about the type of interactions that we uniquely share. Things are some of the things that we have made notable in terms of our communities, our Black families and Black communities and African families. Well, certainly some of that is changed quite a bit because, again, it used to mean our church, our institutions, our stores, our services, things of that nature. Well, again, a lot of that has really, really changed. And now what we call a Black community, certainly is not exactly what it is, especially given the fact that many are no longer owning their homes, when, of course, many of our people did years ago. And certainly when it comes to businesses in our community, in the Black community, in the African community, we certainly are seeing where that's becoming very different as well, and there are some key reasons for that. Well, today, again, we had part two of a very interesting session, and it talked about, you could say, gentrification, what many also call displacement, what many also call a few other names that I can't really mention right now, I don't wish to mention right now, but the bottom line is we are being systematically shifted to areas designated by other people for us to be in. Okay, so what's really happening? And the reasons that that is happening, I think, is going to become very clear. If it hasn't already, it's going to become clearer to more people. Now, very shortly, we're going to bring on our sister, Iya Ajua, who attended the meeting today. Actually, she did libation for us. We give thanks for that. But as you probably can recall, those who tune into our program, our sister is also, of course, Dr. Ajua, who, of course, came through the doctorate program for African American Studies over at Temple University, which is a whole other issue that we will probably hit on at some point tonight, not to a great extent, but at least to provide a few bits of insight, because there was a rally this week for Dr. Tony Monterio in order to struggle to get him reinstated. We'll give you our spin on that shortly, but going back to today's meeting, it was very, very interesting to say the least. And the reason why it was so interesting is because one of the few politicians came to the meeting today, a state representative, as a matter of fact, a black elected official. And like in most cities, most black elected officials don't really represent the best interests of black people. I mean, let's just face it. You know, it's no longer trying to hide and conceal the reality. How that has happened is a whole other matter that we will at some point have to address. But the fact of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, in most cities, major cities, urban cities in particular, and no, not necessarily urban, by the way, black folks who are quote-unquote elected officials are not really, you know, doing stuff in the best interest of our people. Now, I dare say, I can bear witness to the fact that there were a few. I mean, I've seen in my limited time on this planet, I've seen a few who was really, about it, at least, you know, to the best that they could be under those kind of circumstances. Let's face it, being a politician in America, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to get any of us too far in anything. But, you know, some stuff can get done and should get done and have been done. But unfortunately, over the past years, these folks have run amok. And what that means is because there has been limited to no accountability, they have done whatever they wanted to do. All right, getting back to the issue of gentrification again, we're going to bring our sister Iya Ajua in to kind of give you a report on what happened today. And the reason why we want to do this is because we want you all to know that we are going to begin holding meetings online so that those of you who are in other states and other cities who are going through these experiences, or your family members or what have you, we want to begin connecting the black dots, okay? And what that means is we want to hear about what's happening, but also in hearing about what's happening, make some kinds of determinations about what we're going to do. And we've got some pretty good plans and ideas. Like some of it may work, some of it may not, but at least we're not just going to sit back and go, oh, well, look at what they're doing. We used to live over here. And, you know, listen, I love my children. And I have to make certain that as they grow and their children grow, that they know we did everything possible to fight that. The name of the word for today and the name of the game that we play is called resistance by any and all means necessary. So with that said, we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to bring in our sister, Dr. Iya Ajua, and again, she was graced us today in doing her wonderful libation. We try to present as best as we can in our community, various aspects of our tradition to our people, because, you know, we're not going to stop. We're not going to let people forget who we are, who our ancestors are, and what they represent. Meeting, as you're going to hear, Last meeting we had maybe about 60 people. Today we had only half of that, but we didn't really put it out there this time the way we wanted to. But it was extremely interesting, powerful, believe me. And to observe it was an education for many, to say the least, because we got to see how some things are still done or attempted to do, but we also got to see how folks said, no, I don't think so. But anyway, I'm going to let our sister give you some insight because, you know, I was one of the moderators, and it's good to hear how, you know, folks within the circle, you know, how they saw it and what they felt about it. So with that said, we're going to bring in our sister, and we want to also hear your responses, family, very shortly. I want you to be able to push one after Sister Ajua gives her report and let us know if this is happening in your community. Some of you have already done that, needless to say, but also we want to start hearing about what we're going to do. Now, we're going to tell you what we suggested today, and I'm going to tell you, some of it may sound like, you know, way out there, but let me tell you, will we try? You better believe it. At any rate, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us is our sister Ajua, and we're going to get a report on today's gentrification town hall meeting, and with that, indicate to you that a national movement is on the rise to at least respond to these people in a way that indicates that we do have some honor and integrity, and certainly are not just going to sit back and just let them do whatever they think they're going to do without there being some opposition. So, that's it. Sister, we have you on this line.
Ma'at Hotep.
Ma'at Hotep.
Yes, yes. Wow, let me publicly say, Asante Sana, Sister Filet, that was a wonderful meeting. It was productive. You know, it was innovative, it was thought-provoking, and, you know, the ancestors were definitely in the room helping us to plan so that we can, you know, put things in place for now and for the future, you know. And, you know, I was thankful to be there. I was listening to all the stories. I was listening to, you know, the brother was schooling us on how we were being scammed, and, you know, and of course we had the usual rhetoric with, you know, with people in the room saying, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that, and this is what's happening. And, you know, and I appreciate the leadership of the meeting, yourself, you know, and in particular Brother Elliot, because, you know, it was a local politician in the room, and I was thinking, I was becoming a little annoyed with the love fest that was trying to go on, and, you know, but I'm glad that you and him were able to bring it back to the focus and the central idea of the meeting, and so that was really, that was powerful, and it was, and it helped us to, you know, be progressive in what we were there to do. And so that was, it was really good to hear the different stories and the different ideas. And I like how you were giving us the timeline of the different names and how they, you know, changed the names of different programs where, you know, our politicians make us think that they are doing things to help us, but actually they're not. And what they do is they start these programs and then these programs stop. Like you're talking about Models 2, talking about Save Our Land. And I forgot there was another one that you had mentioned. But this is good because that means that, you know, there are those of us in the community who are paying attention to what's going on. And I'll tell you, I was really very moved by the brother from he said he was a minister.
Yes.
The tall brother with the suit from South Philly. I forgot his name.
I like what he said.
He said he was at the meeting because he wanted to link up with what we were doing in that area in North Central Philadelphia so that, you know, we can learn from each other, and so that we could, and so that we could stand as one, and let everyone know we see what you are doing to us, and it's not going to happen. What you're trying to do to us, and it's not going to happen. And so that was really powerful. And you know what was really powerful about him? You know, he was there with his mother. I love it.
Yes.
You know, he was there with his mother.
Yes. Yep, and I think that was the elder. I think she's 80. I think she said she's 85.
Wow, she looked good.
Yep.
She looks really good. I didn't get to greet her, and you know, I'm just thankful. And you know what else was really profound to me was that, you know, Temple was in the building. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were there. They were there with, you know, they wanted to know what was going on. They want to know what the community thinks. Now, I don't know how that happened. I don't know if they were invited or they heard about it and came, but they were there. And so in light of what's going on in terms of the instability of one of the departments on the campus, you know, for them to also be interested in what people are concerned about in terms of gentrification, you know, that was interesting. That was interesting.
Yes, yes.
So,
I'm gonna tell you how I kind of assessed it, my sister, because number one, you know, I always have to really examine how, especially these corporations and you know, other folk, oppressors, for lack of a better terminology.
Uh-huh.
I always like to see how they do stuff. And note, they sent I guess she was a black female student. Now, again, Philly, we're talking about today's meeting. Temple University sent a group of students to cover the meeting for their newspaper.
Uh-huh.
Now,
yeah.
There was one female who appeared to be black. She might have had something else going on with her, but she obviously definitely was black. She was kind of the actual liaison where she really kind of went to people and talked and whatever. Then there were two males. The first one was Asian.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that he was Asian. And then the second one was totally, absolutely off-white, you know, Caucasian.
Yeah.
Now,
uh-huh.
The deep part about it was he wouldn't say much. And,
right.
And the Asian guy wouldn't say much, but he was taking a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
So initially we weren't going to allow that. But because we were at the Church of the Advocate, which is a church, and they're right on near the campus, we might as well say on the campus of Temple University, although they're an independent entity, you know, we didn't want to, you know, create any problem for them.
Right, right.
So we decided to allow them to, you know, to continue. But initially we weren't going to allow them to do so. But what we did do, family, in the event there was some other people in the room who wanted to tape or listen or what have you, what we did do was request that anyone else that was taping, we asked them to discontinue. And, you know, because at this point, and again, we can't stop people from really, if they really want to tape some stuff, they're going to tape it.
Right.
But it was just a matter of at least allowing our people to know that we're taking certain types of precautions as best as we can so that they could feel comfortable in speaking as you know, as candidly as they would like to do. So we made the request that if anyone else was taping, we let them know. We would appreciate if they turned it off. Okay.
Exactly.
So that way, so the strategic thing about that was that meant if there was someone recording at that point, it was no longer on the record.
That's right. That's right.
And
I don't think you saw this part, but when the European came in, he went up front and he slid Brother Timothy a note, and I saw Brother Timothy do the net cut off sign. He was like, no, you know, and I think he was asking him, could he record? because they was adamant. They was like, no, him and Brother Elliot, they was like, no, you know, no, you can't record. So he was like,
right.
Okay, cool. So then he just went back to start, you know, taking more pictures and things, you know.
Gotcha.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so the politician that was there, you know, Curtis Thomas, he was saying a lot, and I hope that he's sincere in what he was sharing in terms of what he said he would do to assist some movement, you know, in the political coffers in this city, because basically, you know, our politicians, they're not accountable to us, and we don't make them accountable to us, you know.
Right.
And I think it's wonderful that and it's power building for us to come together and plan to put things in place to hold them accountable, especially right now, because the land grant, this land dispossession has to stop. One of the things
Absolutely.
I was going to say was that I was going to say, share that I was thankful to be there among people who understood this process, because for me and my family, this has been going on for generations. This is part of why my family migrated from the South to the North, because on my maternal side, my great grandfather, he was dispossessed of his land down south. He was cheated out of his land, and so he came up north with the family. But he could never get over his disconnection, his forced disconnection to his land, and so he died of heartbreak. He died of heartbreak. And then my family here, I was raised in Richard Allen Project, which is now West Poplar, which is what Curtis Thomas was talking about. And so one of the things from that was that we moved from the projects into a townhouse. But when we moved into the townhouse, those townhomes come income restrictions. So if you get to a point where you making a certain amount, then you have to move out. You have to move out. And so that's what ended up happening to my mother. And then we had to move her out of there because she couldn't stay there any longer, because my brother was staying with her, and he was making a certain amount of money, because they make you report your income. And so he was making a certain amount of money, so she ended up having to move out. So she moved out, and, you know, now she's in I guess this is called East. She's in East Mount area, in the area where I am, and then when you now, you know, and she's renting, and she was renting there, but you know she's further away. Like she's just because, like the brother was saying, it's a hop, skip, and a jump. You could be right in Center City from certain parts of North Philly. You know, you can walk.
Right.
We used to back in the day. We used to watch the fireworks. We didn't have to go to Pennsylvania, and we could see it right there where we were at. Right there, down Tessa Fairmount area, you can see the fireworks right there. Fairmount, Poplar Street, all that area, you know. And so now on to me, my home. Now, one of the things I was sharing with the journalist was that her name was Sister Sari or something like that. But anyway, she was saying that I was sharing with her that Philadelphia might not be. Philadelphia has been lauded as a city that was able to fight foreclosure. But at that end, they allowed our taxes to go up. And so now a lot of people are being, we might not necessarily be foreclosed on, but we're being taxed out of our property.
Right.
Taxed out. That whole AVI thing, that thing is horrible.
Right.
The way that they boosted up everyone's taxes like that, that's horrible.
Right.
No one can afford that, you know. And
do you,
so that's
you recall
a lot of brothers were battling with.
And you recall what the brother said, Brother Mshendi, who was really on point also. And family, what we're saying is, and again, if it hasn't come to your city, I'm telling you, rest assured, because we are really seeing how this has occurred. It really kind of, we noticed it in Harlem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We noticed it
mm-hmm.
there. And,
mm-hmm.
and here in Philly, we kind of noticed it right across the bridge where we call Camden, New Jersey. But for
mm-hmm.
those of you who are on national level, you got to know Detroit. just not to file bankruptcy, but, I mean, if you go through there, you won't believe it. And this is how Philly's starting to look and other cities. So what we're saying to you is this. We're saying if it hasn't come to your city yet and you're in the urban environment, guarantee you it's going to happen. But what we also want to tell you is some of the action steps that we are now putting in place to fight. Now, the state representative that came today, his name is Curtis Thomas, he's been in office for at least 15 years, at least
at least.
Because when the Million Woman March was in, started or happened, he was in office then. So that was 16 years ago right there.
Okay.
He was in office.
Over 20 years then, you know.
Right. But the point that we're trying to tell our family is we began to make not only the state representative, but the brothers and sisters in that room know that we are making certain that we expose these politicians. Who had a hand in this. And we made it very clear that this justification thing didn't just start last week, last year, year before This thing has been in effect for a while. So when state representatives try to make it seem like, well, he even at one point trying to put it on the people.
Did you see that? Exactly.
You know, that we just let this happen.
Yeah. You know.
Because, and here's how, and for those of you who don't are familiar with some of the tactics here, I'm going to give you two scenarios. One, the federal governments and state governments have a mandate where they have to provide so-called fair housing. They have to do that based on their little structure. So they'll have money that they'll put out for a so-called level of income where they have to provide either homes that can be purchased or and/or homes that can properties that can be rented. So what they do is, now note, this is a plan that they've had in effect for years, because what they do is identify locations, already knowing they got a bigger plan. They'll put new houses in those areas. Now, for Philly, let me tell you what these houses look like. We call them matchbox houses because the structure of them is, I mean, they can put them up in almost a week, it seems, kind of structure. And the whole idea is so that they can tear them down real quick. They're not solid, really solid homes. So, so they put streets of these things up and tell people, okay, here's your brand new home. Look at it, because it kind of looks real nice. First, it was brand new, a lot of it. It looks real nice. You know, it looked like, you know, you really kind of styled it out. But it's fiber stuff. I mean, it's just cosmetics. I mean, it's just stuff. So what they do is they let you live in there for a while, and then they say, because they already got money, you know, from the federal level, they got money, the city got money to put to help put this stuff up, HUD and PHA and all these different agencies. So then after a while, they say, okay, y'all been here long enough. We're ready to make our move now. So then they say, look, tell you what, you pay $20,000 or whatever it is, we're going to double that for you. Knowing that they're getting ready to quadruple what's getting ready to go on. So they don't mind giving you some whatever, because they're getting ready to go into the hundreds of thousands. Okay. So this is the game. So this is what we're telling all of you, in case you haven't seen it yet. Now, lastly, we're going to go back to our sister. Lastly, here's the other effect. We made an error because our brother, Elliot, did not know who the state representative was, which is a whole other issue. So any of us that are activists really should know who these people are by now.
Right.
A whole other matter. Okay, but he didn't know who it was. So we had opened up the floor because that was the purpose, to let the people speak and you know, and give concern and so forth and so on. So the first person that comes up is the state representative. And he just started his spiel, along with bringing his campaign materials with him. Or some kind of stuff he had with him, some kind of literature. I didn't even look at it. But anyway, I knew that he had some kind of propaganda that he was you know, issuing, which is okay. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. but the point mm-hmm. being, we, you know, I had no intent for him to be opening up in terms of the first mic, you know, the first person to speak. But then he
right.
proceeded to do the regular stuff.
Yep.
Yep. The regular stuff. Like,
yep.
you know, talking about this stuff. We're looking at him like, what are you talking about? Does nobody care about none of that? But we were all extremely cordial, extremely polite, and, you know, allowed him to finish. And then finally at the 10 minutes, Brother Elliot said, wait a minute.
I was so,
let you talk
I was
10
so
minutes
happy.
Now.
I was like, oh, he was my hero. He saved me because I was so happy that he did that. Because he was so correct to do that. He chin-checked him, and he
Absolutely.
Should have because that meeting was not for him, and it was specifically stated, you know, what this meeting was
That's
about
right.
to let the people speak. And he should have waited. You know, he shouldn't have been the first
Absolutely.
One up there. You know, ideally, it would have been really good for him not to have been the first one up there. But then once he realized who he was dealing with, he changed up his feel a little bit, you could tell, you know.
Absolutely.
And I say, boy, he really is, I don't know when they're never not in politician mode, but he was really letting his political characteristics, you know, lead him in what he was saying, you know. And
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And you know, and I like how Brother Ed, you know, he was like, well, you know about this. You could have called your own meeting, you know.
That's right.
I was so thankful that he, you know, was really holding him accountable for, you know, taking up the time that he took up, because it really, like you say, wasn't relevant to what we were there, you know, to discuss and what we were there to do, you know?
Not at all. And then the other thing too, and then we're gonna bring in another caller. Caller, we see you at 8157. You've been holding, and we're gonna bring you in a few moments to join us with Sister Iya Ajua. And the other thing we wanna bring to your attention, for those of you, we know that some of you are seasoned activists and advocates, and therefore you kind of familiar with some of the things that happen, but for those of you who are not, let me put your coat to something. If ever in the future you're planning on having a meeting and it's dealing with issues that are social, political, or social justice kinds of issues, and at some point, or you think politicians are going to come, or they do come, well, let me give you, we decided that we're going to start doing sessions called Poli-Sci 101, Political Science 101 on the Black Hand
That's
side,
right.
so that
That's
we can begin
right.
to understand more about how some of this stuff really works. So let's share a little bit of that with you all tonight, meaning this. The state representative came in with a couple of his people, as they, you know, often do. They had a little entourage that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we opened it up, we made it very clear that this group who is holding this meeting is not like most groups. Number one, we're not trying to be a 501 nothing, anything,
That's
ever,
right.
never. Number two,
mm-hmm.
we're not looking for corporate sponsoring or grants. Number three, this is not a sellout kind of entity, and for those who think that, you know, that they, oh, we said, for those who are, you know, not about trying to really do something or whatever, we strongly suggest that they go attend another meeting, because
mm-hmm.
there's a whole bunch of stuff out there, okay?
Yes, I love
so,
yes.
so,
yes,
so
that
they
was
know.
Powerful. You set the parameters. That was powerful to let folks know. This might not be the meeting for you, you know? You let them know.
No, it's definitely not.
That's
what you're trying to do. If you're
mm-hmm.
not trying to really deal with this issue, then let us please invite you to attend someone else's meeting.
That's
so,
right.
Okay, so we put that out there. Now, obviously, in saying these things, people really understood some of what we were also saying. So as a result,
mm-hmm.
we had not one, not two, not three, at least four people who felt it was necessary and appropriate to talk about the good work that the state representative had done. Now,
that was What
that
was a plot. That was definitely it just seemed like it was a plot. It was like they were plants, you know?
And Poli-Sci 101. Here we are.
This
is why we're saying this and pulling everybody. If you don't know or haven't been involved in this kind of stuff, be very watchful. This is what happens. Somebody's going to be in the room to talk about the good work of the politician. Somebody. Just use your routine.
And the thing was that if he was doing such good work, then, you know,
Why hadn't we heard of it before?
Where was his meetings and things at? Or, you know, why didn't he share the good work that he was doing to save the community from these developers that are from as far away as Washington State in Philadelphia? You know, where was his Poli-Sci 101 at? Where was that at? Where was his list of strategy to help people stay in their homes in North Central Philadelphia?
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I had never seen it. I had never heard of him, you know?
No, and in reality, they have a whole lot more resources and connections and capabilities of holding meetings and so forth than we do.
Exactly.
But that was the whole point, because as soon as we started saying certain things, people knew what we were saying, meaning that there was negligence in terms of representing us as a people, as constituents, et cetera. So people jump right in to create that buffer. And unfortunately, for them, you know, it didn't work. Lastly, then we're going to go to another call, my sister, and bring them in and get their opinion and concept. Here's the other thing that happened that was very important. Poli-Sci 101, another point for you. After we realized that there was somewhat of an attempt, whether it was intentional or not, nevertheless, an attempt to kind of monopolize the meeting with this political jargon and other stuff, I then said, okay, let's end this, and here's what we're going to do. Representative, we're going to make a request that you hold the meeting, and we're going to focus on these specific issues so you can take the time to respond and answer the questions that are being raised to you instead of you using our time to do that right now.
Exactly.
He then attempted to say, okay, I tell you what, I have a meeting scheduled on March 21st or something, 27th, and you all can come to that meeting. Right. You all can come to that meeting. No, I don't think so. Because this meeting ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Exactly. You know? he tried to act like it did. And I think it was almost like you could read his mind, like, are they going to pick up that this meeting that I'm talking about has nothing to do with what they're talking about? You know, I've already planned it. Because if that was the case, then you would have said that in your little 10-minute diatribe when you first got up here.
That's right.
You should have invited everyone to the meeting, you know?
Absolutely.
We said,
thank you, but no thank you. And here's what we'd like to do. We would like for you to call a meeting that is specifically addressing this issue, and that's all. And he looked at us like, huh? But then said, okay, Monday I'll have
quiet.
Moving right along. Okay, caller, you're at 8157. We're going to open up your mic. We've been talking about gentrification. We're going to talk about a few other things as well, but do you have a comment or question for us tonight? 8157, your mic is open.
Well, I don't know. I was listening in. My name is Elizabeth Crudup. I was contacted by the show about my son Shannon, but I was just listening.
Oh, okay. Yes, we were waiting for you to call in. Thank you for calling. Sister Iya, do you mind if we go to Elizabeth, pronounce your last name for me again, please.
Kudup.
Okay.
Kudup.
Kudup. Okay. Oh,
very
absolutely.
Good. Absolutely, definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Let me let everyone know, and please bear with us because I wasn't expecting. Do you mind if I call you Elizabeth?
That's no problem. Elizabeth is fine.
Okay. Very good. Interesting. Okay. So we weren't sure if you were going to call in because we had sent a request earlier and didn't get a response today, but we got you now. Family, what we want to do is please allow us to share a story with you about a young black man, and his name is Shannon, and this is his mother that has joined us. We found it important to share this story with you because, you know, we hear so often about our brothers, our men, our husbands, our sons, et cetera, and what, you know, and how they're being railroaded, how we've always been railroaded, as people need us to say, but certainly there is always an attack on young black men. We're very clear on that. And, of course, nowadays there's women and black women too. But the point being, we feel it is so necessary as mothers and daughters to make certain that we show support to our families. And in this particular case, when I saw it just earlier last week, I was like, okay, we've got to share this information because we have a young man, and as Mother's going to tell you about him, more about him, who is incarcerated. Now, what struck me about this story is that the person he is accused to have attempted to murder has said that he had nothing to do with it, that he was trying to help her. She had wounded, she had been harmed, and he was trying to help her after she ran out in the street.
Wow.
Yes, he's incarcerated. And
wow.
Not just incarcerated, the so-called public defender, and this is, again, Poli-Sci 101, folks, be very careful when it comes to public defender. Be careful, all of them, actually, but defenders, that's a class we're going to do just on that, too. But now we have a public defender who is literally attempting to get this young man to not only plea bargain, but to just, you know, just say, yeah, okay. And we have to be very clear that when your life is in jeopardy like that, and you're told that, all right, if you do this, this is going to be easier on you, because this is the game they run on us. If you do this, okay, so I've given you kind of an overview of what has happened, and Elizabeth is going to give us the bigger picture as to what has happened and what is presently going on. Elizabeth, you got it.
Okay, again, I apologize for not being able to contact you back. I was actually beaten up by a local policeman on Friday, and wasn't expecting, but I've learned to now expect anything in Shannon's case. Real quick, Shannon Nyamudi was at his friend's house on the night of August the 16th, 2012. A lady comes running, a white lady comes running to the property, bleeding from the head. This is in the middle of the night, around 2:30, 2:45 at night. And saying, help me, help me. And Shannon came out, because Shannon was on a car to the side. Shannon came to her aid, and his friend came out of the house, and his friend's grandma came out of the house to help the woman. They made sure she got the help she needed. When the police got there, Shannon was the one who actually went and got, like, walked the police to the property because they did not know which house to go to. It's a cul-de-sac, and they did not know which house to go to. So he actually went and met the police and brought them to where this woman was, made sure she was getting the attention she needs. This woman kept yelling, it's my daughter. My daughter is responsible. It's my daughter. and they took her to hospital. That was at after 2:45 a.m. that day. At 3 in the afternoon, at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, they came and arrested my son, Shannon. They charged him with 12 felonies, but the only ones that still stand are conspiracy to commit murder, attempted murder, and larceny of a firearm.
What?
Remember, the only thing my son knew about this woman is that she was bleeding from the face.
Mm.
That's all he really knew about what had happened to her. My family finds out because, you know, other friends seeing Shannon being taken away called his sister, and his sister told us, Shannon's parents, and she was screaming and crying. We didn't know what was wrong with her. We're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she told us Shannon had been arrested for shooting somebody. We went, well, that if that wasn't bad enough, this got even worse. On February 20th of 2013, they removed my son's name from the court management system docket. They just simply took him out of the computer system so that he did not exist anymore in their files. My son is still sitting in jail. In fact, they had moved his case files to the storage area in the clerk of court department, in the clerk of court's office. We didn't know what to do. August, on the anniversary of the incident, August of 2013, I started asking questions, started asking what's going on. Something told me just to go make a photocopy of his entire court file, which I did. Whatever was in the clerk of court's office in August, I had. Just pushing things forward, 150 pages worth of evidence that would have exonerated Shannon had it been in the folder, just reappeared out of nowhere. You know, I've been really fighting to keep his story in the media, and apparently whatever attention it's getting made these 150 pages reappear. And in there is an SBI report that shows there has been no communication via Facebook or any other media between Shannon and this woman's daughter. There's nothing. That the firearm that they're saying my son stole was found in its rightful place in the woman's house beside her bed.
Mm.
So there's nothing really. But in the meanwhile, they have held my son incommunicado, as in he cannot talk to his family, and they didn't get any visitors. And he's in solitary, he's in isolation or segregation is what they call it. That means he's in a little, whatever size their little isolation cells are, by himself 99% of the day. And it's really a tactic being used to wear his spirit down. I have had four trial dates calendared. They have refused to produce Shannon in front of a judge, let alone, you know, they wouldn't bring him into the courtroom. Now they will not even bring him out of the jailhouse anymore.
What?
So we're just, and we're very concerned for him. We are very concerned for Shannon. And we keep asking people, please write to him, because, you know, maybe he gets the letters, maybe he doesn't, but that is his only contact with the outside world, is a piece of mail that they might give him, you know, every once in a while. I try and write to him, if not every day, every other day, to make sure he gets a letter of some kind, even if it's just, you know, drawing a silly picture, just to, you know, and make him smile, you know, for a second. But we need to get Shannon out of this place. He's in the Franklin County Detention Center in North Carolina. And it is so scary. It is just terrifying. I don't know what they have done to him. I don't know what is going on with him. I haven't seen him in so long. He has very limited communication. He managed to get a call to my daughter, his sister, And all he was so, she sounded like he was so glad to hear another human being's voice, you know. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to talk about silly things. He just wanted to act like he's not there. Like he's not in jail.
Mm-hmm.
What
that's
city
is
it?
North Carolina.
That's for those few minutes. He just wanted to act like he's just talking to his sister, like they're having a conversation at the end of a school day or whatever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking. This is his website. His website is electbeth.wix.com/Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N.
Say it again.
Elect, E-L-E-C-T, B-E-T-H.
Okay.
Electbeth.wix, W-I-X, .com, / Shannon. S-H-A-N-N-O-N.
Sister Elizabeth, when was the last time you saw him?
In January. The last time I saw him was January 26th, I think the date is. Was the last time I saw him.
Okay. And Sister Ajua just asked, what city, what county? We know you said North Carolina. What county?
Franklin County. He's in Lewisburg. Franklin County, North Carolina.
Okay. All right. Wow.
And what do you need? What are you asking for when we go to the what is the most outstanding thing that you would like the community to do to help you with this situation?
We are holding a virtual protest this Monday. Mm-hmm. We're asking people just to go to their local courthouse, even just with pieces of paper with Shannon Yamudi's name and his website, whether it's from 12 to 1, which is, you know, lunch hour, or from or after work from 5 to 6. Just go and give out a piece of paper. If they go to the website, they'll actually find a flyer they could print out and just hand to people. Just stand there for check. Give me 1 minute. Just stand there and give out this flyer because we keep hoping someone will show up that will be able to bring all of this to an end. There's been so much injustice going on concerning Shannon. There's so much wrong that has been done to a young man who was on his way to a military career. He had just graduated high school. This was the time of his life, right before he goes to start his career and after graduation, so just a few months in between. Hanging out with his friends, playing in a band, just having fun as a young man, and all of a sudden, this thing fell into his life, and he's been in jail. He spent his 19th and 20th birthday in jail.
Wow.
So, we need to get him out. We need a lawyer. Will come. Mm-hmm. I can't pay a lawyer at this time. We've had a lot of interest from law schools, but nobody ever shows up. Nobody ever comes. Nobody ever shows up after they find out. You know, initially what happened. I don't hear from anybody. I don't hear we're not going to help you or we're still working on it. I just hear nothing. You know, and that has been very disheartening. I have filed a habeas corpus, which is the legal term for produce the body. I filed it 2 times in Superior Court in Franklin County. The judges refused to read it. They refused to read it.
I kept going. Okay. I was like, just release. And so now I am trying to go into the Court of Appeals with the habeas, and the Court of Appeals would be a little bit different because it's not in Franklin County. The Court of Appeals is in a different town, in a different county, with different judges. So I was really hoping, I have done all the paperwork. I was really hoping that someone would join with me or show up with me at the Court of Appeals, because all I am is a mother that wants her baby. I'm not an attorney. I don't have any legal training, but I'm the only one there for Shannon. You know, I'm the only one trying to fight for him. If I stop, he'll be lost.
Oh my goodness.
If I stop for 1 minute, he'll be lost. So I was trying to, I was hoping that someone would come with me to the Court of Appeals, but it doesn't look like anyone's going to come.
You have no family members available?
No.
Where are you originally from?
I was born in Kenya, but I've spent actually more time in America than I did in Kenya. I left Kenya when I was 16 years old.
Okay.
You know, so I've spent most of my, in fact, all of my adult life in America. And Shannon was here in North Carolina. But he has a very open and, you know, international outlook to life because of growing up with family, et cetera, from different countries. My son did not have a prejudiced bone in his body. That is not something I was ever shown or taught, and I never showed it or taught it to my children. You know, I never told him be wary or be scared or to have that racial discrimination issue never occurred in my household or among my friends or his friends or anybody. So that was a world we were not accustomed to. But then it's a world that's now holding my son hostage. He's literally a hostage to all of this. He's a hostage of hatred. You know, just because his skin is black, they're going to do this to him.
Yeah.
You know?
That's horrible.
The people who actually did this are related to the sheriff of Franklin County. So he is saving his family members from jail when everybody has said that they did it. In fact, witnesses described a white male in a hoodie escaping the scene. My son is not white by any means. He's sub-Saharan African black.
Wow. Okay.
And he does not wear hoodies. He wears tight rock and roll type, you know, jeans, tight-fitting clothes. Okay.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Did you say you got beat up by a policeman Friday?
Yes, I did.
What happened?
This person, I was in a parking lot, and this person comes tapping on my window. I was with a friend of mine, and this person comes tapping on the window, and I couldn't actually see their faces. They were so close to the car. They stood so close to the window, I couldn't see above their shoulder, so I really couldn't see who it was. You know, so in order for me to see who it was, I had to open my door. So I opened my door, and this police officer starts saying, "Get out of the car, get out of the car." I said, you know, I wasn't moving, but the terminology I use is, "Why are you stopping me? You know, what is it? Get out of the car. Show me your ID." I said, "Sir, I'm not comfortable with what you're doing, so could you please get a supervisor here? I'm going to sit here and wait for them, and when they come, I'll be happy to comply with whatever it is you're asking." So the next thing I knew, he said, "Get out of the car. I'm going to snatch you out of the car." So I got out of the car, and I put both hands on the car, so you know, on the side of the car, so you could see where my hands were. It was as soon as my hands touched the car, this person started slamming me. he kept slamming me and slamming me, like full body slams on the car.
Oh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He threw me on the hood. He kneed me. You know, he just, it was just crazy.
Mm.
But I kept going, you know, I really want the focus to stay on Shannon. It doesn't matter what I am being put through or what I am going through. I really want to, it is Shannon's situation that is more deadly, that is more serious than anything. I kept going, if they're doing this to me here, can you imagine what they're doing to him in there?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And speaking of that, Sister Elizabeth, would you please convey, because this was another reason why I felt it was so necessary to share this information, when I got the chance to read some of what you wrote and some of what was reported, it was indicated that when you went to visit Shannon, that you almost didn't recognize him, that he had lost so much weight and so forth. You want to just mention a little bit about that so people can kind of get a real sense of the urgency
I'm going to try without breaking down.
Okay.
Please,
if you can.
The last time I saw Shannon, he said, you know, he had to express himself somehow, his individuality, his sense of choice. So he wouldn't, he said, Mama, I'm not cutting my nails. If that's all I can do to show that I have my own free will in one thing. So he wouldn't cut his nails. And then Shannon has always worn a short haircut. He's always been clean cut, short haircut. And he started turning his head into little dreadlocks, you know. And my son has always looked people in the eye. He's kept looking down. You know, I'd put my hand under his chin and I pull it, like I raise it up so he's looking in my eyes, you know. And we talk. And he's had this rocking back and forth thing that he would do. He couldn't stand for very long, so he was sitting on the chair, and every time he said, "Mom, if I sign this paper, will it make the criminal people come for me? So long as the criminal, it won't bring the criminal people back, Mom, because I can't." You know, he kept calling them the criminal people. You know, I do not. You know, I know that, I don't know if that's the prosecution or somebody had gotten to him in jail. And he'd hold both sides of the chair with arms. He'd hold both sides of the chair with arms and start rocking and rolling his eyes to the back of his head.
Oh, my goodness.
I just want my baby to come home. I don't know what I'm going to get back when he comes out. But I just want him.
Oh.
Okay, family, you are hearing, as you have heard many times, I'm sure, the plea of a mother, the plea of a sister. And so I know you all. You have to do what you can, and that means to begin spreading this information. This, you know, sometimes it's just that. To send this information out to your networks, to whomever you can. You know, somebody's going to hear or be moved or something, and that's, hey, everything will help. So starting tomorrow, make sure if you haven't gotten the information, we're going to give the website out again, okay, but at any rate, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. We will send to you, if you aren't able to access it for whatever reason, we will send to you links, articles, whatever it is that Sister Elizabeth would like for us to disseminate. We will send that out. please send it to all of your networks, the Blacklist, Sons of, and Daughters of Africa. Just send it out widely, please. There's a lot of independent media things out there.
Yes.
If we do our job and just post, put it on your Facebook, post it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, we'll start getting more information as to what, you know, again, going back to the black elected officials, I mean, hey, we got to do whatever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
nevertheless, you know, so we'll be tracking that down to see, start getting some letters to or making some contact with. We just got to do whatever we can, try whatever we can. So starting tomorrow, we'll begin to disseminate and matriculate the information that is necessary to do whatever it is that we can do on our parts. And we'll stay in contact with Sister Elizabeth to make certain that this process can continue ongoingly. Let me just say one more thing before we go to our lines. Sisters out there, please hear me. As I've been saying for quite a while now, we must unite. We must come together. We must help each other, support one another. It's not to say that our brothers, you know, we're not saying our brothers won't do that or are not doing that. They most definitely are. Trust me. I have beautiful black men in my life, for sure, including my son. But the point being, sisters, we're not representing in the way that we should on a national level. Sisters do a lot of wonderful things. Don't get me wrong. Sisters do always have. No reason why this sister does not have some group or some entities that she can turn to and really get some input. So we've got to become more organized because, as we've been saying here at New Day, this stuff is going to be happening more than y'all think, for real. It's happening now, but it's going to be happening more and more and more because these people see that we are not organized to the extent that we need to be. Okay? So we got to make it happen. So you're going to hear some calls go out further in the very near future to help prepare our sisters to be more proactive, less reactionary, and on point. So that these people will know if you mess with us, we are going to give you hell. And as it said, hell knows no fury like a woman scorned. And when you mess with our children, that's far beyond being scorned. So we've got to begin to deal with this matter in a way that women must. We know that our brothers will support some of the work that we're doing. They certainly support. We saw it today. Men were standing up. In fact, someone came to me and said they were surprised to see so many men in the room, Sister Ajua.
Yes.
I literally had someone to say to me they were surprised to see so many men in the room. You know, because
yes.
Usually with this kind of thing, you know, it's usually more women. But the bottom line is, we're going to do this together. There's no question, you know, as a family,
yes,
as a community. But sisters, you know, there's a certain kind of relationship that we have as mothers. And so with that said, we have to connect those dots to make certain that we can provide the type of nurturing for each other as well as assistance, as well as comfort. Comfort.
That's
so, right. Sister Elizabeth, you stay right there, if you will. We're going to go to a couple of callers just in case some folk need some additional information or some further clarity or something because, you know, we want you all to, you know, take your post, move on out on whatever areas that you think. We need your help. We need your support. And nothing is too small to do, okay? So let's see what we can make happen here. Okay, let's go to caller. You're at 4233. We're going to open up your mic, and hopefully you have something you can share with us in regard to this matter. 4233, your mic is open.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. This is Belinda Parker Brown. I'm calling you from Louisiana.
Yes.
And I'm really, you're having a real good show. I was listening to Miss Elizabeth about her son Shannon.
Yeah.
And I did go to his website, and I think I don't know if she received my email, but there is a time to act, and, you know, I think that her story is very significant to a lot of people suffering these type of malicious acts.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a question, I don't know if she's still on the line or not, that,
yes,
you know, was her son forced to plead guilty, or did he ever have a trial?
My son has never had a trial. He's never been brought into court.
Wow.
He's not had a trial, nothing. They're trying to make him take a plea, but he will not take a plea for something he had nothing to do with.
Okay, very good.
He has not had a trial, not had a hearing. Outside of being arraigned, there's nothing that has happened for my son.
Okay. Have you had any type of demonstration or protest at the Franklin County Jail?
No, I have not. I was trying to organize something locally, but people are so terrified of that sheriff. This sheriff has done a lot of nasty things to people. I've had people contact me privately, saying that, you know, they support me, they support what's going on to free Shannon, but they just feel too scared. Witnesses of the crime, they say they just feel too scared to step forward because they don't want anything to happen to their kids.
Okay, do you have like a FBI headquarters or anything like that where you can go to?
I have reported the FBI, this to the FBI. I don't know what they're doing about it because all it is a call center or, you know, a reporting center. All you can do is call and make a report and make another report and make another report. They never give you feedback as to what they are doing or what they are planning on doing or what they're able to do for a particular case. So I have called the FBI.
Okay, all right. What I suggest that what I'm going to do to help you, Ms. Elizabeth, is that I'm going to contact the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., and have them contact the local FBI to get that report, plaint that you put in about, did you put it in for the sheriff of that county? Do you know the sheriff's name?
His name is Jerry W. Jones.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, you need to get some flyers made up, and I'm going to tell you, this is going to sound a little dramatic, but you're going to have to do this. You're not telling your story clear enough. Your son is being lynched, okay, lynched inside of the Franklin County Jail by Jerry W. Jones. Okay, so you need to put that. You need to put that in a flyer in black and white, big letters, lynched inside of this Franklin County Jail by Jerry W. Jones. Okay.
Okay.
And another thing that. You got to be dramatic now. You can't be nice about this.
Hold it one moment, sister. Hold on one moment because two things, and one is from my training, and my training is very security-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Now what I'm saying and what I'm sensing are two things, and one is this. I've been, and I'm sure you have as well, but I've been in counties, in locations where white supremacy rules. And I could be wrong, but it sounds like this sister pretty much is alone
Yeah.
There's no group, committee, and she has indicated she has no family.
Wow.
They just beat her up.
Right. Now, I would have to say at this point, I would not advise her to do that.
So what you're saying that she is totally alone. She hasn't got any type of support.
No. No. See, so.
And the flyer is saying that he's being held hostage in Franklin County, North Carolina. And what she's asked us to do is it tomorrow or Monday?
Monday
between 12 and 1, print out that flyer that is on his website and pass it out to as many people as you can. I've never heard this story until tonight. This is horrible.
Right.
This is ridiculous, you know. And
this has been going on for how long, Miss Elizabeth?
Since August of 2012.
What?
Well, you're absolutely right. They're holding your son hostage in that jail, and he's suffering inside of that jail. But something drastic you're going to have to do something drastic. You know, I don't know, because, like, you know, what you're saying is if you are alone, then you're gonna need some help. And something is going to have to get the people's attention to help you.
Well, that's what she's here for, to get the help from us. What is it that we can do?
I'm in Louisiana, but I'm thinking something in her community. You know, she got to do something to get the community aware that this sheriff is sheriff is wicked. You know, you got to bring about some kind of I'll think of something. Can I get your number, Ms. Liz?
I just wanted to say that I found out that getting this information out, the more people who know about Shannon, the less likely they are to do something completely insane, you know.
Right.
There are more people that call and ask about him and check on his welfare and write him letters, the more mail that comes through there, you know. Until we can get to him. I had heard from a few different places, as I told you. I really need someone to go with me to the Court of Appeals, because this is the last time we'd be able to present that habeas. And all the judges have to do is read the habeas. I know it's a different set of judges, but I was so shocked when the judge would not even read the paper, you know. The information contained in there explains why Shannon should be released immediately. You know,
it sounds like there's some favoritism, nepotism in the good old boy system that's going on in that community. So, you know, you can't, expect them to follow the rules, because they're not going to follow the rules. It's somebody that's rubber stamped in everything that go through that court system, because it's a kangaroo court. And if somebody is related to the sheriff, like you said, that, you know, it's all, the fix is in. It's a cover up, even in the appeals of the court in that entire state. So you're going to need some outside help. You got to contact the Civil Rights Division in Washington, D.C., and let them know they didn't help your son over 120 days. That's a blatant violation of his civil rights. They should have let him go if he have not been before a judge or been to court to trial.
They will not bring him out of the jailhouse. Forget bringing him to court. They wouldn't bring him out of the jailhouse. You know?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. They're holding him hostage, like you said. But you got to get outside help, because your son, you know, he's counting on you. You know, he's counting on everybody that you're reaching out to. But, you know, those people are wicked, every last one of them, because they should have let him go after 120 days if they was not. They trying to force him and badger and threaten him to plead guilty to something that he didn't do. And that's the if he plead guilty, that's the only way they're going to bring him to court. And then it's, you know, with a public defender,
okay,
you don't have a lawyer.
Well, let us at this time, let us do this, because I think we'll be a bit more productive if we focus on what it is that we can do.
Right.
Not so much what it is that she can do.
Right.
Go ahead.
The appellate court is probably in cahoots with the local court. Her chances is going. You know, right now, I'm really thinking about the safety of this child right now, because every day is time, you know, for him wasted inside of that jail. So we need to do something drastic outside of that state, North Carolina. That state is probably all the tentacles are connected to each other. And they know by now. So we got to do something outside of that state. We got to go to some other higher authority.
Right. And I agree. And when we say we, that's the part that I'm trying to get us to get to. The we part, not her or not Sister Elizabeth. I mean, yes, there are things that Sister Elizabeth needs to do, but the we part of that is where I want us to focus on, at, you know, simultaneously. Because here's the reality. Yes, Shannon is in danger, obviously, but it would not make sense to me to further endanger the mother either.
Exactly.
You see, we have to be very clear about
that.
I got a clear picture now when you say that she does not have any support. You know, if she is all alone, I can see that. You are absolutely right.
Yes.
We cannot take that chance.
So we have to. We are the ones that have to be her support. And it looks like it's going to be outside forces that's going to make things happen for Shannon, you know, where he's being illegally held hostage. So I know I'm, for one, I'm going to have copies, and I'm going to, I commit to passing out flyers this month, to Monday from 12 to 1 in support of Shannon so that he's released from jail. And I think that if we all do that, if we all, wherever we're at, you know, if we all do that, that will help this family, you know, help this sister get her son, you know, our son, you know, from out of the clutches of this, you know, this hellhole, this so-called, this prison industrial complex. That's crazy. This is
now let me also share with you, Sister Elizabeth, Dr. Randy Short has called in and has indicated that as soon as you are ready, he will begin to coordinate an interview with you that can go on Press TV.
Yes.
Now, Press
Excellent.
TV is not only national, it's international.
That's right.
So he asked if I could give him your number, and he will talk with you directly and begin to schedule a interview that will be aired on Press TV.
Please make sure you give him this number, because my other phone, my phone and all my personal things that were in my car were shipped into the next county. I don't know why, but they took my things into what is called the Ku Klux, the home of the Ku Klux Klan.
Right, that's what I thought. See, when you said what you said, I already knew. Because once you've had certain experiences, I was in Mississippi not too long ago, and I was in a cab alone, and I had a crude awakening about being in certain locations where certain types of people have access to you by yourself.
So as soon as you said it, I already knew.
Right.
You understand?
I'm going to wait till I can have people with me, not just one other person, but people with me.
Yeah.
And that's how I'll go get my car and my property, because I'm not going in there by myself. It's in a place that's in an isolated road. It's not even in the city. It's in an isolated road. So I'm not going there by myself. I'll just, you know, tough it out until I can get enough people to go with me. You know, just ask someone to please ride down with me to go get my car.
Okay, well, what we'll do is this. I'm going to also get this information to a sister, Sister Pam Africa, who has really an excellent network. And I know we have some people in North Carolina. As a matter of fact, there are several people who are social justice activists. And I will put this information out to them so that we can see who we have in your area that we know works with, you know, prison issues and social justice issues, so that we can get people to start monitoring not only what's going on, but to make certain that, you know, some other level of safety for you. Because, again, if something happens also to you, then the fight for Shannon becomes, you know, lessened as well. So, you know, so it's important that both of you, and I know and I heard you say very clearly that your concern is your son, and we're very familiar. This is what our mothers and sisters do. Black mothers and sisters have always done that. They've always put the children first, and should. But as a black woman's activist and advocate, I have to also think about you, your safety.
I'm concerned that how many other people this have happened to.
A lot.
I think that's where the network needs to begin, with reaching out to other people that this have happened to.
And it's starting right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
In the community too as well.
Yeah, and there are networks out there, and so this is why we're saying once we begin to get this information circulated in circles where this is the work that people do. Right now, it is kind of an isolated situation, but you know there are a lot of excellent activists. In fact, we should have thousands and thousands of people coming to Philadelphia in March to observe Mumia Abu-Jamal's Earth Day. But the point being, the activists that will be coming from all over the country, this will be next month. So for us, I have to look at what can I do? What can we do?
Right,
I already know if Sister Ajua is right here in Philly with me. So I already know between she, I, and a couple other sisters, we'll do a flyer. And when thousands of people come to Philly next month, in the effort and support of Arisa Mumi Abu-Jamal, we're going to get that flyer out to them. Now, something will happen quicker than that, but I'm just saying, just as a projection of a plan of action, where we know that these people that's coming, they're serious about work.
Right.
And once they have the information, they'll send it out to their networks. And I know we've got some people in the Carolinas, but they don't have the information yet. So before we try to put one person out there, we need to try to develop a team so that there's some kind of backup systems put in place. So, I want you all to stay right there. We're going to bring in another caller. Caller, you're at 7940. We certainly appreciate you hanging on in there, and we have your mic open now.
Yes, greetings, everyone. I'm just happy to be on the call listening, and I also respect and appreciate Sister Belinda networking on this end, because I was wondering how this sister when she was going to come in with the sisterhood. She finally is here, and I appreciate her. She, sister, I don't know if you know Sister Belinda.
Yeah, I know who she is. Okay, good.
So I'm glad that we all working together, and I heard something very important that was shared, that we got to stick together. We all got to work as one unit, because these individuals are trying to up their aggression against our people.
Right.
They think they can do what they want to do with us. So we got to build a solidarity chain around one another and let our people know that either you're going to be in this for the long haul and to provide a protection for not just us, but establish something for our future generations to come. So these Caucasians just can't think they can just continue to enslave our people. We some great people, and we need to continue doing missions, performing missions like this, and let them know, oh, we sticking together. And y'all just can't do us no kind of way and play these games with your little de facto courts and your ghost courts, and all of what they're doing is not even real. They just making up rules to be able to keep us enslaved. So we got a birthday game down and let them know that it's over. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Wow.
Thank you, Sister Amy. But let me also say this in all honesty and reality. You see, you're absolutely correct. But sisters, black women, African women, must really realistically connect. You see, and here's the reality. And this is without getting in anyone's business or infringing or whatever. But to build a network that has consistency and clear objectives and do that on a regular basis. And I'm talking about on a national level. We have pockets here and there and here and there, but where is the clearinghouse or the centralized entity? See, these other groups of people, they have that. For whatever reason, our women don't want to do that, and consistency is into thousands of things that she does as a sister, as a woman, and have done for years. You, Sister Amy, have been doing specifically the work with TIs, but now have realized you've got to expand that. While you have your specific area, you also realize you have to connect it. Well, this is how we're beginning to operate now as women. We have our own specific projects or areas of expertise or things that we're working on, but we connect to each other to support each other.
That's right.
That's what's real about this, you see, to be able to say that this is what you do on a day-to-day basis. Because other than that,
right,
it's not real. So
this is like I just signed the petition.
All right.
I'm going to make a donation. I'm going to do what I can to help. You know, sister. You know, Elizabeth, you need help with the legal defense to get your son out, our son out. And you know,
I signed the
petition, and I'm going to send that petition to my listserv. And you know, impress upon them to sign it as well and share in their social media networks. And this is how we build and connect amongst each other so that we can, you know, support each other. We have to walk
Absolutely.
Our talk. We have to walk
Absolutely.
Our talk.
Absolutely.
And this is why we ask everyone, again, that's listening, please go to the website. What you can begin to do is send that link out to everyone in your listserv, to any group that you are a part of. That's the first step. And then as we begin to talk more with Sister Elizabeth, we will begin to see what else we can do to get this ball rolling. But obviously, if summer's coming, if for whatever reason Shannon is not out in the next couple of weeks, get ready. Summer's coming. A lot of
That's
major
right.
events all over the country, because the weather's going to break. But the thing that I suggest that we do, is now, like today, we met a young student from Temple University who's a journalist student. We need to get this information to her, get some of it to the students.
Exactly.
Okay, because it's the young student that we're talking about.
Exactly.
This young man is a young, you know, he's young.
That's
so
right.
We need to get the
That's
information
right.
to some of these young students and let them start kicking it out.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Because we had one of the things we talked about, too, at the meeting, and I was glad that you pointed that out, because we tend to beat ourselves up. We say, oh, well, you know, we allow these things to happen to us. And you
right.
And I like how you pointed out, Sister Filet, that we have to teach each other, like you were saying, a poli-sci 101. The same thing with us connecting as African women in this country. To protect our children and protect ourselves, we need to know how to do that. Now, Sister Elizabeth is on the line, and she said, okay, I have a website for my son. I'm asking everyone. I have a flyer on the website. I'm asking everyone to pass that flyer out from 12 to 1 on Monday. I'm asking everyone to share that information with their network as well. She has they're asking for donations on the site. You know, and also there's a petition. Now, that's three things we could do right there.
Right.
You know, and they,
okay.
even, they have donations as small as $5 on that website.
All
so,
right.
I know everyone is having, I know I am. We have challenges financially and everything, but we can give up $5 to help our sisters, you know.
Absolutely.
Let
me also share, those who do the tweet thing, the Twitter thing,
that's right.
Come Monday,
Twitter,
let's get ready to
Facebook.
Put this thing out. I just got a message from Sophia Stewart. Now, for those
okay.
who are not familiar with Sophia Stewart, let me tell you who she is. And, again, these are powerful networks that once we get this information matriculated. Sophia Stewart is the sister who wrote The Matrix.
Yes, she did.
I'm sitting here looking at a tweet from her.
Yeah. And
okay.
Yes.
So I'm saying if we just do what we can do just
mm-hmm.
in beginning to get this information circulated, it's going to make a difference. Once
That's right.
once those people see that Sister Elizabeth has support, they're not going to be as readily able or I would dare say willingly able to try to move on her or what have you.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Sister Elizabeth, hopefully tonight's program has, you know, it at least provided you some encouragement. Hopefully, you know, at least, you know, some thought of a community, a family reaching out to do something to help, and I hope you're able to sense that and to feel that.
I sure do, and I thank you all so much. Sometimes as women, we just need to talk about it sometimes.
Yes.
So we can rejuvenate ourselves to continue.
Yeah.
And I just need to talk about it, you know. I try not to fall apart, you know.
That's okay.
I try not to fall apart, but sometimes you just have to let go. Because that's how you're going, and I appreciate this so much.
Sister Elizabeth, I need some more information. This is Belinda from Louisiana.
Okay.
Is there any kind of way I can get a contact phone number for you, or someone can call me back with a contact number?
I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there. The number to call me on right now is 910-980-8157. 910-980-8157. Please feel free to call me anytime.
Okay.
Okay.
And, Sister, please give out the website, because I find that that's oftentimes really the best way to facilitate getting work done. Please give out the website information.
It's Elect Beth. That's ELECTBETH, electbeth
electbeth.wi.com/Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, electbeth.wix.com/Shannon.
Okay. And again, family, if you, for whatever reason, didn't get it now, just hit us up, nationalmwm@aol.com. nationalmwm@aol.com. Just let us know what information you need, and we will certainly make sure you get that tomorrow. If you know, those of you who are in tune to us, you know, we make certain we keep that internet rolling. We send out lots of information on a regular basis about all of the issues and the topics and the things that we deal with to keep you abreast. So, again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Now, next week, I'm supposedly going to the UN because this month is considered Women's History Month. And every year at the UN, there are special sessions for 2 weeks that are held where women from all over the world come. So, again, we're going to be talking with Sister Elizabeth in the next few days or so as we kind of develop some other strategies, and perhaps we may be able to have something ready to go with us there when we go next week, or if we were to go next week. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to let Queen Mother know because she has a session that she does, and I'm going to speak with her and see, you know, how we may possibly be able to proceed. But I do know that one of the first things that is going to be necessary is, and I always advocate this, is to be organized.
That's right.
Once we're organized, we can do whatever we like, but you must be organized. Okay, so with that said, Sister Elizabeth, I'm going to stay in touch with you, you know, either by telephone or by email. Do you check your emails regularly?
Yes, I check my emails every 30 minutes.
Good. And I you know what? I said, of course you do, because once I contacted you, it wasn't even normally 24 hours. So, you're right on point, absolutely. And I like that, because when you're doing work, you have to stay, you know, respond, because you can't leave a lot of gaps, you know, sitting and not getting stuff communicated. It's very, very important when you have a campaign or a project that's being worked on to keep those communications rolling. So I certainly appreciate that. Family, again, you know, if you all are involved in any type of communications, any other blog shows or anything else that you can suggest, please feel free to communicate that to us, and we will certainly assist in any coordination. Again, we're going to have Sister Elizabeth and Dr. Randy Short connect within the next day or so that we can get that telephone interview. Sister Elizabeth, just so you know, I'm going to also send something over to the final call. This is a national newspaper that a lot of people do read, and this, again, would help to get the story out. So once I contact our connection, you know, they may want to talk with you. So, again, that's another plan of action that we would like to you know, put out there to you so that we can at least begin to get the information circulated and get more awareness, and with that, more, you know, some real action to happen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate this.
Oh, well, we would be remiss if we did not do, you know, what it is that we have to do. No one's going to help us but us.
It's
really unfortunate, my sister, that you had to understand the realities of what this country really does. You know, our ancestors that have been in this land for many, many years, you're just kind of seeing, unfortunately, an inkling of what our people have suffered in this land for more than 400 years.
By the way, I would also like to mention that Mr. Victor and his wife is still in jail here in Louisiana. So we need to keep them, you know, lifted up and, you know, pray for their strength because they really, they almost at their end. They're still sitting there waiting to go to be free.
Wow. Well, hopefully in the near future, sister, we'll be able to get some information that you know, we can, help people to know. I've requested on several occasions to try to get updated information, and for whatever reason, I haven't been able to obtain that. It's very difficult to work when you're not able to get information. So.
Right, and that's, you know, I don't have, all I know is that they're still there. I'm not able to get any information. You know, he has, you know, all communication lines have been severed. So all I know is that he's still in jail.
And where are they in jail at?
They're in jail in Louisiana in St. It's St. John the Baptist Parish.
Okay. Well, I want to get your information from Filet, too. I didn't know your story, and I know the show is about to go off.
It's not really the sister's story. It's a husband and wife who are near where she resides.
Okay.
Sister Belinda works with a committee that deals with human rights issues and other social justice issues.
Yeah.
So, that's why I was saying to Sister Amy, I'm familiar because we had attempted to do some work around the case of the Victors and, really put some time and effort. But, you know, the communications just kept not being,
right
on point,
on my, I can only get so far with communication with the family. You know, once the family is cut off and all communication, then they're like about 3 hours away from where I'm at. So that's basically what she's trying to say is that the communication lines is not really good because the family is not supporting, or I don't know what the situation is with the family. It's like it's a lot of confusion going on with who's supposed to be, you know, the contact people and who's supposed to be relaying the information and where it's coming from, and it's just not good. And I have really exhausted myself with trying to, you know, force my communication lines and not getting any response. It's just very discouraging because, you know, they're locked up and they don't have any outside communication except for with, you know, his sons. They just totally fell off. I don't know what then happened. I don't even know if they have went to jail or what. I don't know. But I was told that, you know, it's like they're just sitting there hostage and no one is really communicating with them.
Well, you know, at some point, we only have a few minutes left, but at some point we will kind of revisit that and see where it's at. I can only say that, in dealing with those types of issues, which is what at some point we're going to suggest to Sister Elizabeth, once we kind of have a team or some other people involved, you have to go to these places. When certain things was happening with Mumia here in Pennsylvania, see, that's kind of from an organizing standpoint how we address situations. We look at the state. We look to see who we have in that state that's an activist because we know how the system works and how they try to cut you off and shut you down. But what people have to do who are about it, they don't accept that. We go to those places. When Mumia was finally put in general population, but yet they wouldn't go in the general population, we drove up there.
Uh-huh.
We went up there. We drove hours to get up there and to meet with the superintendent, even though he wouldn't meet with us. That wasn't the point. Mm-hmm. The point was we went up there with cars, and we made sure that they knew that what they were doing was not acceptable, and that we were going to make whatever moves we needed to make certain that they put him in general population based on the fact that he's supposed to be in general population, but they have him still in isolation. And then, and within a week, he was out in general population.
Wow.
So all I'm saying is that we understand clearly that they will do whatever it is to discourage you, to cut you off, or whatever. But once people make a commitment that they're going to fight, then you got to roll with it. And whatever they're talking about, well, we ain't going to do this. We're okay, fine. It ain't even about what they do or don't do. It's about what we're going to do. But anyway, we're down to our last few minutes, family.
Yeah, it is. I
want to thank all of you again for tuning in. Oh, and by the way, congratulations to everyone and all that put in their hard work. Russell, no, I'm sorry. I'm hoping that Russell Maroon shows. Eddie Conway.
Yes.
Eddie Conway is free.
Yes,
he was
he
incarcerated for, what, 40 years, Sister Ia?
Wow, well, 47 years? Yeah.
I believe it was 40 years, They
never
stopped.
You know,
longer
than Nelson Mandela, right?
Right. Okay.
You know?
So we know that you can win. I was there when Geronimo was released. Well, not there at the actual site, but when he came to Philly, I was there.
All right.
You know, so it can happen, but people have to
Finesse.
Be very committed. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we do. Can I just, one of the things I also admire and respect about you that you were talking about tonight was that, was it called the Declaration of Human Rights?
Yes.
And we all need to be familiar with that. That is something that we all need to go access online, you know, or access wherever you have access to information, wherever you get your information from. But access the Declaration of Human Rights. We need to know what our human rights are, and that's how that's how we need to, you know, treat each other and be in connection with each other, you know?
Absolutely. Sister Elizabeth, again, I want to thank you for being strong, for being who you are, for being a mother, and, you know, for, of course, continuing to fight. As you know, I mean, that's so typical, and I mean it in a very positive way, of our women, I mean,
that's
who we are. We're fighters. So, you know, with that said, you will surely meet more sisters who are also fighters and brothers as well. Because, you know, once we get this information circulated, surely it will make a difference. So please continue to, you know, do what you do. Hang in, not just hang in there, but just, you know, just be safe, healthy. That too is very important. Let me, you know, stress, be healthy. As best as you can, because I know it this kind of thing can wear on you. And you know, we want you to be healthy as well as be safe. So, family, again, I want to thank all of you, Sister Amy, Sister Belinda, of course, my dear Sister Ajua, and all of you who are tuning in. My apologies if I did not get to you, if you were trying to get on. But, you know, we're going to continue this dialogue very, very soon. We're going to definitely keep you abreast. And remember, if you have some questions or comments or something, if there's some information that you need for us to help forward to you, then by all means, hit us up at nationalmwm@aol.com. Before we leave out, we want to remind you that two things. One, on May the 10th, we are calling it Free Marissa Alexander Day. May 10th, wherever you are, have a discussion, call somebody on the phone, do a telephone conference call. I don't, even if it's 5 minutes, do some. Send an email out. Just say it's Free Marissa. May 10th. Why? That's the day before Mother's Day. And we do something every year. And so we're going to have a rally here in Philly that we do annually called Enough is Enough. And it focuses on the violence and abuse of our women and girls But on that day, we're also calling for a national Free Marissa Alexander Day. Okay, we're going to be telling you more about that as we proceed. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask my sisters who are on the line right now, if you have some closing comments. Sister Amy, I think you're still on. You have some closing comments for us tonight.
Yes, I am. What did you say you was going to go in and do again?
I'm sorry, say it again.
What did you say you were going to go to? I know you said the UN is going to be for all women's, and what was that event again?
Oh, yeah,
about?
That's on now. Every year, for the past 50 years, I believe it's been, every year from March, it's somewhere in the first week of March every year, and it's usually for 2 weeks. I think this year it might have started on the 1st, and it goes to maybe the 15th, something like that. But women come from all over the world to convene at the UN during those 2 weeks. And it's a lot of different sessions. If you want information, just send me a reminder. I'll send you the website so that you can see some of the different sessions. There's hundreds of sessions on all kinds of topics, but specifically about women for those 2 weeks. They're coming from everywhere, Kenya, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, but India, China, because it's all women. But anyway, we have run out of time. Sister Adjua, I'm going to go to you for your closing, and then we'll close out again with Sister Elizabeth. Sister Adjua, your closing words?
Hotep, you know, I just want all African women to come together, stay together, do what we need to do to protect our families, including our men, and, you know, and work with our brothers to, you know, continue African legacies, because that's what we're here to do. You know, we have to, you know, continue the legacies of our ancestors and forge those pathways for the Africans that are coming, and they are coming because African people love African people.
Absolutely. And Sister Elizabeth, your closing words for tonight.
Shannon Yamudi. Those are my closing words. Shannon Yamudi. He could be any one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So fight for him like you're fighting for yourself. Shannon Yamudi.
Yeah.
All right. Family,
yes,
we thank all of you. You have been in tune to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. Get up. Stand up. Peace to you all. We leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep, meaning much peace and much justice. But remember, there can be no real peace, meaning Hotep, until there's truly justice, meaning Ma'at. Till next time, move forward in the spirit of power, prosperity, and, of course, peace. And, of course, with that said, definitely justice. Peace to you all.
My eyelids are.
Yeah.